From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour will be made in 15 days, June 25th, when voters in Rochester head to the polls for the primary elections. And on the ballot will be numerous candidates for the Rochester City School Board. As you undoubtedly know already, this primary election comes while Mayor Lovely Warren is asking for a referendum, at least a chance to have the state perhaps take over the school board, kicking out whoever the voters have chosen. Well, the election's going to happen no matter what Albany or City Hall want to see happen next. And this hour, it's a chance to hear three more candidates for the open seats. You've already heard two rounds of interviews with the candidates, and today we sit down with our guests and three candidates for the commissioner positions on the Rochester City School Board. Hello to Andrea Bryant. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Evan. Thank you for having me.
Ricardo Adams, thank you to you. Thank you, Ricardo.
Good afternoon.
And Howard Eagle, welcome back to the program.
Hello, Evan. Thank you for inviting us.
You got it. A lot to talk about this hour. And listeners, we're going to try to catalog in our various online platforms all of the interviews that we do, City Council, School Board, various races, so you've got a chance to hear the candidates at length. And in a moment, I'm going to ask all three of our candidates who are in studio today to tell the listeners a little bit more about themselves, their work background, and why they're running. But I think we ought to just open with some of the ideas of what they have regarding a possible state takeover. And I heard Mr. Eagle saying before the program began, you don't think it's going to happen even if this referendum happens in November.
No, I don't. And I think that I'll be just frank and honest, the power of unions will defeat the idea. I don't think that there will be enough agreement among legislators to pass the necessary legislation. It's a bad idea anyways. We understand the urgency, the sense of urgency that the mayor, the desperation that the mayor is feeling. Many of us are feeling that also. We've been feeling it for years, so we're glad to see that kind of urgency. But the idea that there's someone in Albany who knows how to come here and run this school district is just baseless. There's no reason to believe that. There's no history. There's no record of the state ever taking over an urban school district, one that's in crisis, especially deep crisis such as this one, and running it effectively. We think that collectively the people in this community have the answer, and we've been urging the mayor when we met with her to call for one table so that all of us who are serious about producing, in fact, we believe the plan even exists by way of Dr. Aquino's report and those 84 recommendations. We think that is the plan, basically. It's a matter of implementing it, right? Having the right people to implement it, which brings us to this race.
What has the conversation with the mayor been like for you?
Well, we met with her, and we said to her the same thing that I'm saying to you now, that we don't support mural control. We don't support a state takeover. What we support is that we would hope that she would use her position to call for one table, literally, for our educators, parents, students, our business people, politicians, anybody who claims to be serious about helping with the crisis that we're in, the deep-seated old crisis that we're faced with, come into one table and let us together roll up our sleeves and become very serious about clear goals, objectives, strategies, and measurable goals. And again, we think that many of those, if not all of it, is kind of outlined in Dr. Aquino's November 2018 report.
But it doesn't sound like the mayor agreed with much of what you had to say there.
Well, she didn't disagree.
Okay.
She didn't disagree, but obviously she hasn't done that.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
Ricardo
Adams, how do you feel about the idea of a possible state takeover?
So I'm really saddened that the mayor is out of touch like that to not realize that in reference to the status of RCSD, the state is just as much responsible, if not more, than the school board. A lot of directions and laws come that the district has to follow by, that the state issues out. So they're more at the blame for the situation that we're in here than the school board or the superintendents. So to think that they're going to come in and do something different, it's sad that somebody would even think that. You're out of touch. It's just not happening. I don't believe the people in this people are underestimating the people in this community. We're not having that. We're not having that. The state is the status quo, and to pretend that they're not is just it's just a farce.
Okay, Andrea Bryant, how do you feel about it?
Well, actually, Evan, we don't need the state. We need the slate. We need the 2019 slate for school board. And I'll tell you why. Because there are four like-minded individuals who have the same principles, same beliefs, have worked really hard in this community towards the betterment for our children. And, you know, we're not afraid to stand up to the powers that be, you know, to make things happen. And, you know, again, like the gentleman was saying, there's no proof that a state takeover has ever, you know, helped any district in crisis. So I think that's, you know, just another example of them bringing someone in to the community that doesn't know our community, don't know our children, no personal interest in it at all. It sounds more like business than anything. And, you know, I think there's a need to, we have who we need in the community. You know, there's no need to go outside of Rochester to achieve what it is we need to achieve for the school board.
All right. So let's ask all of our guests in studio, and we'll go back around the table. I'll start with Andrea Bryant. Tell the listeners a little bit about your background and why you decided to run.
Well, I'm Andrea Bryant, and I am a mother of four graduates from the Rochester City School District, and I am now a grandparent in the district. I work along with the Coalition, Faith Community Alliance, Take It Down, and Movement for Anti-Racist Ministry in Action. And we've worked consistently for the past 5 years on dealing with issues of racism in the Rochester City School District. And I believe that what is most important, and I know you've heard this time and time again, but I have to emphasize again, we need community organizing. Without the community, you know, I don't think there's, in history, there's been any kind of a movement that worked without organizing the community. And again, with the state takeover, that's just more of shutting the community out, shutting the parents out. And we need that. I don't believe that anything can be done in a positive way for the city school district without the parents and the community.
Ricardo Adams, tell listeners a little bit about yourself and why you're running.
Okay, I'm a parent of a fifth and seventh grader in the district, one at East and one at Dr. Walter Cooper, number 10. And I work at Center for Youth overnights, and then in the mornings I go to school. I've been going volunteering in the school for 4 hours for the last 8 years since my kids were in three-year-old pre-K. That's a way of reducing class size. So I get to see the what's working in the building and what's not working in the building. There's nothing political about me. This is the last place I thought I would be. If you do any research, you'll know I didn't even get in this race until the very, very last minute, kind of like a write-in candidate. When I seen that democracy was under attack, I felt I just had to step up.
How is it under attack?
Trying to take the vote from folks. This wasn't the mayor's recent press conference wasn't the first conference. There was a conference back around the time that I decided to step in where she did another press conference with Rock the Future. And it was more or less along the same lines. It was interfering with democracy. I like to relate back to how the state, they have what's called school base. I've been a part of that, and it's one of the things they claim parents have a voice, and it's mandatory that a parent is on there. Recently, the state has dictated that we're going to have extended day. Forget about what school-based parents want. We're going to have extended day. It's like a bully tactic. It's another reason why the state takeover junk is just unacceptable. And I've gotten the support from the students, the parents, the staff, the whole community. I've been out here just putting in the work. And that's what I'm going to do, win, lose, or draw this election. And I'd like to extend to every candidate, all 10 of us, that whoever gets elected, that we unite and we come together and get this work put in, and we put out a press conference, man, against all this nonsense. We got it. We can't do it alone.
Okay. Howard Eagle, tell us a little bit about yourself, to the extent that the listeners may know or not know you.
Yeah.
They probably know you pretty well.
Everybody knows me, but a few people do. I'm Howard Eagle, and I'm a parent first in the Rochester City School District. My son is a senior at East High School, getting ready to graduate in a few weeks. I taught in the Rochester City School District high school social studies, 712 social studies, for 23 years. I'm serving and have served for 19 years as an adjunct professor in the Department of African and African American Studies at State University of New York at Brockport. And as my colleague, Ms. Bryant, mentioned, we're running as part of a slate. Ms. Bryant, along with current sitting commissioner, Reverend Judith Davis, and Minister Franklin Florence and myself, we are a slate of four. And as, my colleague already mentioned, the foundation of our platform is community organizing. We really believe that. It's not rhetoric. We believe that, and we believe it because when we look at history, that's what we see. That until we organize a critical mass of parents, educators, students, again, that long list of everybody, politicians, people who are serious about really producing the change and improvement that we've talked about for decades, until we organize a critical mass and begin to work around concrete issues, special education, and around shared decision-making, around individual institutional and structural racism, in measurable, concrete ways, not abstraction, that the change that we're talking about is never going to come. I support the idea that Mr. Adams just floated, and we're committed to that. I've been in this for 40 years. I've been a community activist for 40 years, 40 consecutive years, and I never thought I'd find myself running for school board or anything else, for that matter, again. You may or may not know, I believe you're aware, I ran 6 times, right? Apparently the community, the small percentage, the very minute percentage of the community that actually participates in the elections, which is another whole issue that we haven't dealt with at all, they rejected the kind of leadership that I offer, right? We hope things will be different this time. I had no plans of running. I had resigned myself to trying to identify young people who were interested in this and trying to help groom young people. I was drafted more or less by this slate that I'm running with, and I made the decision after long thought to go with the slate because we see it as a historic opportunity to actually put in place a majority of people who can make those decisions that everyone in this community is crying out for, and we will make the decisions if we're elected.
All right, priority one for all of you, and I'll start with Howard Eagle on this.
Yes, sir.
If you're in there, what happens first?
Yes, sir. I always say to everybody who asks me this question, it's all the media and so forth, it's a trick question. And I don't believe there's any one issue that we can identify more so than others and say this is the one. If I had to choose one, I guess it would be parent and community involvement and engagement, right, at every level of the system, if I had to choose one. But I don't believe there's any one issue that we can isolate from all others and say this is the one, right? We got to do this, at the same time. So in our view, again, we got to go right back to those 84 recommendations that Dr. Aquino put out in his report in November 2018. And not that that was new. It wasn't new. He said so in the beginning of his report. None of this is new. And he listed a whole range of other studies and, plans that have been put forth before his. All the information was there. However, I will say this. I haven't seen a report organized quite like his. He's identified 11 critical areas, and each one of those areas he gives specific recommendations about what needs to change, and the only thing left for the board to do, and not just the board, but with the community, is to develop the implementation plan, and they can't seem to do that. The commissioner rejected their initial response. Now they've submitted a second response. We're waiting to see what happens, but it's interesting, again. In the second response, they emphasized parent and community engagement. Finally, they emphasized it, according to what I read in the newspaper.
Okay. Ricardo Adams, I take Howard's point, and I think it's a fair one, that when we ask what your top priority would be, it's a little unfair because it's a complex set of problems and there's not any single solution. And I'll grant that point. Do you have certain ideas in your mind that you think are not happening at the board level right now that you want to bring?
Yeah, I want to bring just unity. We need to operate and function in a partnership model, a partner, power with, not power over. And that will be the difference. There's so many different pockets of groups within the city school district. It's ridiculous. And we have to be open. You walk around in the building, there's all this whispering going on because people don't want other people to hear what they're talking about. And that's a problem. So we need to definitely, it needs to be a power with, not a power over.
Okay. Andrea?
The first thing I think I would want to focus on is getting rid of the presence of police at our city schools. I think it's unfair to our children, you know, as if they don't go through enough, maybe with home situations or whatever. When the first thing they come to school is they see a police car sitting outside of the building. They go in, they have to be searched. Their book bags have to be, you know, almost like a criminalization of our children. And I just think, you know, they don't have that out in the suburbs. They don't have that in Brighton. They don't have that in Pittsburgh. And, you know, when you look back in history and you want to look at where they really need the presence at schools, you know, you look at all Columbine, all these school shootings and killings. They weren't inner city. They weren't Black children. They weren't Black shooters. And still, they have no presence of police officers outside of their school. So I that would definitely be one of my first focuses, along with parent engagement and unity as a board. All of those things are crucial, but that just sticks out for me.
Okay. Now, on the subject of unity that Ricardo brought up, I'll turn to Howard, and I want to offer a little time to be fair here, because one of the other people running is current Commissioner Beatrice Lebrun. And just as a little bit of background, there was a recent encounter at a meeting in which she said some things that I thought I think are pretty clearly were very personally directed at Mr. Eagle. I asked her on this program if she was willing to apologize for them. She said she was not, because she said it was a bubbling over of a long history between the two of them. And she also told us that she doesn't think that they could serve together on the board if they're both elected, that something would have to give there. And so I want to start by asking you, first of all, if you want to offer a general response, just to be fair, to give you the time.
Okay,
Go ahead.
My general response is that my critique is that Ms. Lebrun is hate-filled. She's thoroughly unprofessional, has an uncontrollable anger issue. She's a compulsive, habitual, pathological liar. And she's posing as a so-called commissioner and a so-called health worker.
Well, she is a commissioner.
For me, so-called, the behavior, for me, eliminates the possibility that we would consider her to be legitimate in that position. It's unacceptable under any circumstances. The worst part was not what she said at May 7th at the school board meeting. That wasn't the worst part. The worst part is what she's been doing since, traveling around to radio programs such as Bob Lunsberry, Glenn and Beck, Kimberly and Beck, yeah, Brother Weeze, spouting lies, slanderous, defamatory lies about me. And as a matter of fact, if she hasn't already, she will be receiving soon, probably today, a letter from my attorney. Here it is. If you want to look at it, I'm going to make it public on Thursday evening at the board meeting. But it's just unacceptable. I won't take that from anyone. As a matter of fact, the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, was when she appeared on your show on the 31st. You gave our slate a choice to have one or two people here. We decided consciously, our slate decided that it would be me, because I wanted to face her not around no personal issues, but around the issues of commissioner, around the issues that we're dealing with as it relates to the school board. That's what I wanted to face her on, and that's what she's running from, and that's what she's hiding from. But she gave you the impression that I had did something to her to make her feel unsafe in this studio with me. That was the final straw. I left your building that day and went straight to my attorney's office. And he has written a letter to her saying cease and desist or get sued.
Hmm. So to be clear, what Howard is describing is accurate, that Ms. Lebrun asked for a chance to appear on this program not in the same physical space. She said she did not feel safe. She said she felt threatened. She felt that your behavior was aggressive, and that we agreed to honor that at her request. And you know, I think that put us in a spot where we had to do so. Now, she has appeared in your physical space and other places. But it doesn't mean that she's comfortable
with
it.
As I mentioned to you, here's the hypocrisy. When she came to your show that day, she was coming from a conference room at the Five Star Bank or whatever it is out on, what road is that?
I believe Jefferson Road.
Not Jefferson Road, but out that way.
Yeah.
You know where I mean?
Yeah.
We had just come from a conference room.
But it doesn't mean she's comfortable with
well,
it.
Well, okay, I'm not going to argue that, but what I know is I haven't done or said anything to her to make her feel unsafe. And she convinced you all otherwise. You know what I said in my note to you. As far as I'm concerned, you got bamboozled, you got hoodwinked, you were taken. I've done nothing to that woman or said anything to her. Never heard of Beatrice LeBron until 2017 when she was running for school board. I challenged her on issues, educational issues. She's saying that I'm making these personal statements, of despicable statements of a sexual nature that I'm making about, oh yeah. I'll let you look at the letter if you want to. In terms of what she went on those shows and said about me.
So I want to wrap this up so we can get back to the issues, but a couple of quick questions for
yes.
you. Look, everybody has heated moments or either online or in person. Have you ever done or said anything? And I'm not talking about just that meeting or since then. Have you done or said anything that you look back and you regret, Howard? That you
we
feel
all
like...
have, I'm certain. But look, let's compare okay. apples to apples as it goes. I worked in the Rochester City School District for 23 years. There's no record of me. I'm a parent in this district. She's sworn to work for the best interests of parents. That includes me. Even if she doesn't like what I say in terms of issues, she's still sworn to that. 23 years in the classroom at the level where the rubber hits the road, there's no record of me ever disrespecting a parent. Certainly not to that level or to any level. So if you're going to compare apples to apples in my professional role, no, I have absolutely no history of ever doing something like that. I'm sure every one of us has said something that we regret. But here's the critical. This really took me aback when you asked her the question, if I'm elected to the board, would she work with me? I couldn't believe this. She said publicly no. So if the will of the people is that both of us sit on the board, how are we not going to work together?
Are you going to work with her if you're elected?
I'll work with who? Listen, if it's the will of the people that she's elected and I'm elected, I don't have a choice but to work with her. So it was just mind-blowing to me that she would say, no, I won't work with him. What are you talking about? Does that mean you're going to resign? What does it mean?
All right, I know Ricardo talked a lot about unity. Are you concerned with what you hear regarding some of that?
So if that is what was stated, I am concerned with that. I totally support Beatrice LeBron. I support Anthony Hall, Robert Hoggard. And my thing is, I feel like the Latina community is not as underrepresented as it is. I feel like there should be at least two commissioners representing that community. And for there to be any discussion of somebody not possibly doing their job because of somebody else, we all have to put that aside. In spite of, because of, we have to unify. We have to. That's the only possible way of progress forward. And so I would definitely, if this is what she said, I didn't hear the show. I don't know. But it's a concern. I don't think anybody would say that happened and it didn't happen. So I'm gonna speak to her about that because we have to persist and push through.
We're talking to candidates for Rochester City School Board, the commissioner seats that are up on June 25th. That's 15 days from now in the Democratic primary. Which tends to decide the election. There's a November general election, but this tends to be it. So we're looking 15 days away from now. Ricardo Adams, Andrea Bryant, Howard Eagle are all here. We've had multiple conversations and with different candidates at different days, and we hope that you'll listen to all of them before you have a chance to vote. Let me get our first phone call. Diana in Rochester with a question for the candidates. Go ahead, Diana.
Yes, my granddaughter is in the city schools. She's actually in school 12. And I have not lived in the city for a long time. I am very concerned about the quality of her education. And I don't know the history, but just from the brief listening to the program today, I can see that there are deep-seated problems within the power among the school board participants, and I believe that we need an outside influence. I really do. There's obviously very, very deep-seated problems from the adult and the board issues, and All I know is I have a granddaughter whose life is in your hands, and we need an outside influence.
But what's the outside influence? In other words, a state takeover?
I'm saying the state influence. If that's the only outside influence, that's what I think we need. I just from being here the length of time that I have been here, I've been appalled by the fact that the people who are on the school board don't even have their children in the city schools. my daughter has the choice to be in Brighton. She could be in Brighton. She has a very strong feeling about multiculturalism. She has her daughter and my granddaughter in the bilingual program, which is good, but there are very big issues that we have moving forward. And when I listen to this, I just am so discouraged and think, look, people who have such deep-seated problems with each other, it's going to take some time. And by the time it's resolved, my granddaughter will already be severely affected. And
all right.
We can't have it.
Diana, thank you for the phone call. Let me ask all the candidates. Andrea Bryant, what do you make of that? She says we need an outside influence now.
Well, I think that, I mean, because there's no guarantee that your outside influence is going to do anything better than what you already have here in Rochester. And, you know, as far as, you know, I was told once that, you know, there are no permanent enemies, no permanent friends when it comes to politics and doing things of that nature. And if you can't put aside your personal issues and feelings, and, you know, because like Howard said, she has said on the radio she won't work with him. And I have witnessed that when Howard's at school board speaking, she will get up from the dais, walk out, and not come back until he's done talking. And she's admittedly done that also on another show. You have to be able to work together. I agree totally what Mr. Adams is saying. No matter what's going on, at the bottom of it is our children. And those are the people we need to be worried about. Having a board that can't even get along with each other. You know, when the issue came up at May 31st at the school board, you know, we had written as a coalition to the board and Beatrice and asked her, are you willing to have a restorative group? And she talks big about restorative practices and how it's needed and how it, you know, to help get along and solve situations. She refused it. So, you know, when it gets to the point where your personal issues are overclouding what's best for the school and the district, something has to be done.
Okay. Ricardo?
Okay. For me, let's be clear about one thing. The parents are the professionals when it comes to these kids. Ain't nobody more professional or care more about these kids than the parents. We have to keep that in mind. These outside, I'm just totally against me not having a say in what's going on and whether I can elect somebody. It's democracy. And even if we continue this don't mean 2 years from now, everything is gonna be all really great, because that's just not the way life is. We've been 400 years in oppression. We still in oppression. Ferguson needed to happen, but people are still dying. Young black men are still getting killed, but Ferguson needed to happen. It didn't stop anything. Same thing. We need to stop this talk of state takeover.
Ricardo, before I let Howard jump in on that too, just on the point you're saying, it's anti-democratic to do a state takeover this way, what the caller wants to do. And my sense is, and just in observing all of this, it is undeniably anti-democratic for a state to take over an elected board. That subverts the sort of the democratic will of the people. I think that's you can't argue against that point, unless, as the mayor has said, let's have a referendum in November and let voters decide if that's what they want to happen. Then the people do get to have a choice to say, yes, that's what we want. We'd rather have that than what we have in here. Does that make it more democratic to do a referendum?
I would like, if we want to do that, I'd like to see it be done the way the census would be done. Let's go to door to door. Let's go door to door and get the real.
Because you don't think people want it.
Yeah, people don't come out. People don't believe that their voice matters. It's the same reason parents don't come to board meetings, okay, because they don't think anybody's listening. There's a real chance that it'll probably only be about 8% of the voters come out to vote 2 weeks from now. If that, it's possible it could be lower than that. It's a shame, but that's the way it is. And we're not going to let some outside entities just come in with, not with my kids, not with my kids.
Okay, Howard Eagle.
Yeah. So in terms of your last question about a referendum being possibly more democratic, I agree with Mr. Adams completely. This is deep stuff, right? When you get, as he said, roughly 10% of the eligible population, voting population, the electorate, coming to the polls for decades. And actually, it's less than that, because really we're only considering Democrats, because nobody else has a chance to win. We know that for decades. You're talking about a minute percentage of the population. That's who's going to decide the referendum. That's not Democratic. That's truly not Democratic. But then people can make the argument that what's happening now is not Democratic either, because there's no popularly elected school board member now. They all won by those small percentages. So we need to all work on that together, too, in terms of unity. But to answer the caller, I would offer caution, ma'am. I forgot her name, but I would offer caution.
That was Diana.
Diana, I would offer, Miss Diana, I would offer caution. We can't do this kind of hit and miss speculation about what the state may be able to do because they're an outside entity. It is important, in my view, for us to look closely and carefully at history. That is what will help to direct our decision. What has happened? What is on record? What is on record is that when communities that are in crisis, such as this one around education, have made any kind of marked permanent improvement, it's been because they have organized, the people in the community themselves have organized and have involved themselves in helping to produce the solutions. Now, I agree with you 100% in terms of being appalled by the current leadership. That's why we're running. And again, we want to emphasize we're running with a slate of four people who are like-minded. You know, we're not robots, but we're in agreement on all the fundamental issues. You won't see no arguing and bickering and fighting and fussing and yelling at parents and all of that stuff among us. We'll be about the people's business. We'll be about your granddaughter's education and our cousins and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews' education. Like yourself, we got skin in the game. But as my colleague said earlier, even if we didn't have skin in the game, this is a moral, ethical crisis that we must address. No one else is going to address it. So I would just offer caution about this state, this outside entity. They have no history of knowing how to do this. They do not. And I challenge anybody in New York State or beyond to say otherwise, to show otherwise. So that would be my answer to you. I hope it makes sense.
I have a pile of other questions and comments from listeners, and we're going to have them for the candidates after the only break of the hour. It's a very short one, and we'll come back with Howard Eagle, Andrea Bryant, Ricardo Adams, three of the candidates for Rochester City School Board voters, to the extent they want to be there. And the call has gone out to participate 15 days from now in the primary elections that will likely decide the next members of school board, no matter what the state does. So let's go ahead and take that break, and we'll come right back to your questions next. Coming up in our second hour, J.J. Warren was a delegate during the General Conference for the United Methodist Church, and his passionate speech went viral. He asked his church to reconsider its views on LGBTQ members and issues. Now, the church ultimately decided recently not to change. It's still a very anti-gay church, and that has caused a split in the Methodist Church. Will we see churches actually leaving? We'll talk to Warren next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. A lot of questions for our listeners, and let me continue just working down the list here. First of all, I've got a question that I think is probably best directed to Andrea Bryant, who mentioned police in schools and the presence and the impact on students. Anne writes to say, regarding police in the schools, my district is York in Livingston County. It's a very small school. We have a resource officer. Police car is in front of the circle at the entrance. It is comforting to me as a parent to see it there. The students are not searched, but the officer is on the premises, and in this day and age, that's necessary. So just saying in today's world, this is a parent who is not in a city district but says, we've got police there, and that makes me feel good. That makes me feel that my children will be safer. What do you think?
Well, again, it's the reason why the police is sitting in front of the school building, number one. And, you know, she is, that's not the norm, you know. That's not what I see. When I drive out to these different suburbs, and I don't see that at the suburban schools. So, and I'm not saying that she's not correct in what she's saying.
Sure.
She would know that. But, you know, I can only go by what I see and what I know and what is out there. You know, I don't believe I've spoken with anyone else on this matter who tells me that they know of any outside of the city's district or school that has police presence. But even still, regardless of where you are, the police presence, she made a comment saying it makes me feel comfortable as an adult. But that's not how our children feel. They feel like criminals. Okay, I've graduated 4 children out of the district, and this is what my children tell me. And not just my children, many, many children. I've spoken with parents that the sight of the police officer sitting out there, it just makes their skin crawl. What are you saying about our children? What are you saying to our children? So what's important is how our children are perceiving this.
All right. Here's one for Ricardo Adams saying, my question for the candidates is how they're actually going to develop unity among the different members of the board. And I want to hear real examples, not empty platitudes about general unity. If they cannot give real ideas, I feel we might really need a state takeover. That is from Nathan. Ricardo, you talk a lot about unity. How do you get there? And what does it actually mean besides talking about unity?
So it doesn't mean talking about it. It actually means engaging with people. I have a history of this, engaging people. People that I don't agree with. Me and Howard don't agree on a lot of stuff. We sitting here, we're engaging. We're talking on the air and off the air. I can engage with people. I have a history of this. It's all I know. I do it in the schools. I do it in my workplace at Center for Youth. It's what I know.
Okay.
That's what I'm a professional at, engaging in people.
All right. Andy writes to us and say, Evan, as a gay man, I never felt comfortable coming out when I was a student at RCSD. It's Pride Month. I'm wondering if the candidates will discuss what they would do to protect the rights of gay and trans students in Rochester. That's from Andy. I'll start with you, Howard.
I want to address the other two briefly.
Sure. Go ahead, and then we'll hit that.
I don't know about York, but I'm assuming that it is a predominantly overwhelmingly white school district.
I'm sure it is.
I'm also assuming that something happened there to cause police to be there. Because I just want to reiterate and agree with what my colleague said, that's not the norm for suburban or even rural, predominantly white school districts. So I imagine something happened. But also, remember who the children are. The demographics matter. Remember who the children are in city schools, right? We're talking about predominantly black and brown students who have a history with the police department, and it's not good. It's not a good history for most of the families and children of our school district. They don't have friendly relationships with the police. That's another whole story. But it doesn't stop with the police car out front. When they come in, they get scanned. They got to walk through metal detectors and so forth. It begins to look like prison. I don't know if you heard the mayor in that forum, the big forum that they had recently, where she talked about children having to take their boots off and walk through the wet water in their socks as they get scanned, as they're coming into school. So it sends a message. It does. And some people say that it looks very much like, I'm talking about people in criminal justice, in public safety, say that it looks like conditioning for prison. The school-to-prison pipeline begins there. And so it's not a simple matter of just having a police car outside. It's deeper than that. I absolutely agree with Ricardo. I know him. I've known Ricardo for decades. We work together in the community. We have differences and so forth. He does engage people. We engage people. We hold weekly meetings at Fight Village that are open to the whole community. We got email lists of hundreds of people that we send every week inviting to our meetings. We have monthly meetings at the Central Church of Christ where we invite the entire community. We've helped to develop within the school district initiatives such as REAL, the Racial Equity Advocacy Leadership Team. We insisted that not be handpicked, that it remain open to the entire community. Anybody who wants to come could come to that table. We did that. Our coalition that Andrea mentioned earlier, the Take It Down Planning Committee, Faith Community Alliance, Movement for Anti-Racist Ministry and Action, We have helped to lead that and have insisted that it remain open so parents and others can come and participate. So we do have a history of it. We're not talking abstraction about unity. And I don't want to pick on her, but only one person has said that she won't work together, that she won't unite. And I'm glad to hear Ricardo say he's going to speak to her about that, because we can't be serious about wanting improvement for our children and say we won't unite.
All right, fair enough. Now, on Andy's question, he's wondering if the board can offer support for the rights of gay and trans students in Rochester, said he never felt comfortable coming out when he was at RCSD.
We support all children. We support the needs of all children, regardless. I don't know how else to answer that. If there are specific needs, and we're probably not even aware of what some of those are. But how would we not support what children need to be successful? We support Andy. Is it Andy?
Andy,
we support everything that a child needs within reason to be successful. Everything.
Okay. Does that mean funding or other resources for—
That's what I'm saying. I don't know the specific needs. Okay. And he probably would say you should if you want to be a school board member. He's right. And I will, because I'll study like I always do.
Okay. Ricardo, agree?
I totally agree with that. I've always— by the way, Andy, were you at the Black Pride Gala event Saturday? I was there. I was the guy with the hat.
Andrew, you want to respond to that too?
Again, what the candidates here are saying, absolutely, absolutely. Any kind of support we can give, it is there. It is all about the children, straight, transgender, whatever you might be. That doesn't matter. Whatever you need, we're there.
All right, David says, over the last five years, RCSD superintendents, school board, and central office have hurt schools via overloading them with too many grades and too many students. Look at School 58. What will the new school board do to address this? Agree, disagree?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Too many grades, too many—
Too many students and maybe not enough teachers, just sort of overloading. It sounds to me like he thinks large class size.
Yeah, he's probably talking about large class size. We really do have to get at the truth about this, because when I taught in the school district, there was a lot of discussion about large class size. But in the buildings that I worked in, and I worked in a few of them, John Marshall High School, the old Madison before it was turned into what it is now, Josh Lofton, the Young Mothers Program, there was this talk about large class size. That's not what I saw in most of the buildings I worked in. In fact, most of the classes were small because of our chronic attendance problem and issue, right? And so we need to get at the facts. The research is very clear about the importance of not having overly large class sizes. No matter who you are, you could be super teacher, you can't be effective. So we know that. I'm not sure what he's asking specifically. We don't support large class size. We know that doesn't work, right? Unless you got just all well-behaved angels and geniuses and so forth, right? And I don't think that exists. So if he could be more specific, I hope that's an answer. I'm not trying to be evasive, but I can't answer what I don't understand.
Okay. Let's keep going with the questions. Michelle in Rochester next on the phone. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Let me get it off speakerphone. Sorry.
Sure. No problem.
So I'm a parent in RCSD and following all of this pretty closely. And just kind of thinking about the context for the proposal for a state takeover, it's really pinned to some pretty longstanding board dysfunctions from what I've been reading. And I'm curious, you know, there's a blend of newer and longer standing board members. How have we elected over and over again a board that's not working well? How is it that we have a lot of the same faces there really not making progress? And just kind of wanting to hear your panelists' opinion about that. And then if there was an alternative proposal for the state, what I would prefer to see as a parent is to have local representation, democratically elected with greater voter engagement, but have the state support board development to make our board better capable of functioning better, and whether the candidates would be able to advocate for something like that.
Okay. Michelle, thank you. Andrea Bryan, I'll start with you.
Well, again, you said her name was Michelle. Mm-hmm. Michelle, I have to tell you, I agree with you, and I ask some of the same questions. How in the world do the same people— we have Willa Powell, who sits on the board for 20 years. And I tell you, at every forum I'm in, I'm asked, and I hear parents asking, What are you bringing to the board? What have you done with our kids? Why are you still there? I have to be honest. I ask the same questions. And I believe that they put people in. I believe some people are there because of who they know. And I believe that for whatever reason, we have those in power who want to continue the status quo. And, you know, again, this is why we need something new, something that has never been done before. Again, I can't stress enough how much four votes mean. And if you want change, you've got to vote different. You've got to be a part of the change that you want, which means maybe, you know, looking at, you know, researching the candidates a little bit more. Me as a candidate, my phone number is it's out there. My email, you can call me and talk to me one-on-one if you want. But again, I would be very careful who I'm voting for, do my research, and, you know, I would go about it that way.
Okay. Ricardo Adams.
So I'm just optimistic when it comes to, like, voting. I'm going to just be asking people to just do better this time they vote. I can't get discouraged with how they voted. Because if that's the case, I would not be here, because November 16th or whatever that day was in 2016, I should have just never go back to voting again, because what happened in this country in November of 2016, Donald Trump got in office. So it ain't always a good result come from the voting. And so I'm not going to get discouraged and try to advocate for something other than democracy.
Okay. Howard Eagle.
I think who we choose does matter, absolutely does matter. As, again, my colleague mentioned, Willa Power has sat on the board for over 20 years. Van White has been on the board, I believe, around 10 years. Cynthia Elliott, around 10 years. I don't know the exact numbers, but that's close. They have presided over the crisis. They have. That's a fact. Now, we got new board members. It's still not clear if they really do have fundamentally different ideas and so forth. I hear a lot of noise, but I don't see resolutions. You see, change occurs through people, board members, putting forth specific resolutions for change and improvement. Other than our colleague, Reverend Judith Davis, who has, as a new commissioner, put forth a resolution that we think is critical. So it does matter. And as the part of her question about state, I think it wasn't a question. I think she sort of stated that there should be state influence. I would say state support. But instead of taking this position that the state must do something, we need to be very clear about what it is we want the state to do. And then we need to go to the state and say, here's our plan and here's the support that we need from you. So I think we're agreeing, if I understood you.
About 45 seconds apiece for some final thoughts before we close the hour, and I'll start with Andrea Bryant.
Again, I want to say there's a 2019 slate for school board. Minister Clifford Florence, Reverend Judith Davis, myself, Andrea Bryant, and Howard Eagle. I believe that we are not miracle workers, but we, working with the community, we believe that we have what it takes to turn this district around. I'm not going to say it happens overnight or, you know, but I believe with the chance, if you give us this chance when you vote on the 25th, I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Ricardo Adams.
The top-down approach has never worked. It's never worked. It's bottom-up. And that's where I'm coming from, the bottom. We got next.
That was a short closing statement.
So I get more time.
Go ahead, Howard.
So Andrea Bryant, and if you heard them earlier, Minister Florence and Commissioner Davis and myself, we begin to sound like parrots, because we really do mean it. We really do, we believe, we know, we have our stuff together. We believe the same thing fundamentally in terms of approach to this crisis. So all I can do is parrot what Andrea just said, is that we're running as a slate. We're like-minded. We're dead serious about this. We're committed. We're knowledgeable. We're ready to go to work. And if you elect the four of us, it really will represent a historic step, a turn away from the status quo, what the last caller was just raising, a turn away from continuing to elect the same people who have clearly presided over the crisis. 752 1426. 752-1426. That's how you can reach me anytime, day or night. If I don't answer, leave a voicemail. I'll get back to you, I promise. And we need your help. We need the help of the community. We need parents. We need students. We need educators. We need business people. We need everybody who claims to be serious about wanting to help with this crisis to come to one table. We might have to create it ourselves.
Where to find more of you online if people want to learn more? Yeah,
yes, so you can find us on Facebook, 2019 Slate for School Board, and email address howard.eagle90@gmail.com. And the phone number again is 752-1426.
Ricardo.
You can find me at Ricardo Adams for School Board. You also can ask your kids. A lot of kids in the district know me. I get around like that.
They know him well. We actually got a couple of calls this hour, just people saying they know you. A lot of people know our guests and Andrea Bryant. A lot of people know Andrea around the community as well. Same place to find you as well that Howard mentioned?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so I want to thank not only the three guests here, but all of the candidates for commissioner. You've heard them all on this program, 15 days away from the voting. And if you're registered and you live in the city, you can vote. It's up to you. Our thanks to Howard Eagle. Thank you, Howard.
Thank you for having
Andrea
us.
Andrea Bryant, thank you very much.
Thanks, Evan.
Ricardo Adams, thank you very much, sir. Short break, more connections coming up.